minutes after. I think I'm going to go ahead and get started, okay, because we've got a good crowd. I really am extremely pleased to have Mary Fort sitting next to me at my desk, who is really the reason that I own an apartment at all, much less two other apartments and soon to be an apartment in New York. Because Banque Patrimoine Immobilier, we call it BPI, it's a little easier than that, which was Woolwich way back then and then was purchased by this French bank, was the one bank that took the risk on lending me money when I was, you know, like struggling and all I could think about was owning this apartment that I had fallen in love with. And over the years, we've developed a wonderful relationship for with a lot, you know, a lot of our clients. And they are a very creative thinking group, and that's largely thanks to Mary, who is the director of the international department. She wasn't quite that high 7 years ago. She's getting higher by the moment. And now they have a very big team at the international department. And because they're thinking creatively all the time, Mary's come up with a scheme which really does, as I put it, beat the decline of the American dollar. And I have to preface one quick thing before I turn this over to Mary, and that is that, well, actually I want to say a couple of things. First of all, when we had this conversation about this scheme of hers, it was in its embryonic stages and didn't even really exist. And thanks to our promotion of it, they don't have a choice. They have to make it happen. So the fact that you are all there and listening to this phone call is going to push it even further. So thank you for that.
And good job on your part.
We're pushing it. And second of all, this call is being recorded, and so anything you miss or any notes that you didn't get to take, you'll be able to go back and listen to it because I'm going to post it on French Property Insider, so you don't have to worry about that. Okay? And now what's going to happen is I'm going to let Mary just give you a brief 15 minutes or so, an introduction to what they do and some of their creative thinking, including this particular scheme that we've been talking about. And I'm going to use the word scheme lightly. It's really a British term, and it's a product. Excuse me. It's a product. Yes, we've gotten used to the word scheme not being derogatory. And then we're going to open this up for questions, okay? So on that note, I'm going to turn the call over now to Ms. Mary Fort.
Good evening to you all. It's a great pleasure to have you online, and hopefully the pleasure will turn into a face-to-face meeting very soon when you've heard all about what we can do for you. As Adrian said, I've been responsible for the international lending at the bank for, I won't tell you how many years because I'm giving my age away at that stage. However, over the last 3 years, I've been specifically involved in creating products, looking at how markets evolve, what we can do to be more creative in these markets, and particularly the international market, which is my forte, obviously, being Irish, living in France, and having worked in this environment for the past 20 years. Several months ago, we noticed that there was a slight difficulty with the American clients because of the fall in the dollar against the euro, which got me thinking. I said, how could we possibly do something to help Americans continue to buy in Paris and not to suffer too much with the exchange rate? Having discussed with several of our introducers, mainly Adrian, on the 7th of November, it was an idea I'd had was the exchange rate today was so poor that if Americans could bring in their dollars, because as a non-resident borrower, you will have to automatically bring in a certain amount. So if we could have that amount, the equivalent in euros, leave it in dollars to enable you to buy happily and wait until the dollar increases against the euro, whereby you're getting on that proverbial bandwagon, owning a property in Paris, at the same time keeping your own currency, borrowing in euros nonetheless. Interest, we would lend you the 100%. The interest that you would pay is deductible. And at the same time,
on the U.S. or on the French side?
On both sides. And hopefully within the next 4 to 5 years, we all anticipate, however, that the dollar will rise against the euro, and by simply just investing on an interest-bearing account, that in 4 or 5 years it will be a lot less painful you to convert your dollars and pay off the percentage of the mortgage if you wish, or if not, continue if you think the dollar is going to increase against euros. So it literally means that you're going to keep your funds in dollars at the moment, bring them into France. We will do the funding, whatever funding you want, be it 100%, be it 110%. We would need the equivalent of 20% of the euro amount, plus what we call a clause de rosage, which means is for fluctuation in the dollar against the euro, because obviously nobody knows what's going to happen over the next few months. There may be some sort of a fall again of the dollar against the euro, to allow us just 10% on the 20, the equivalent of the 20% euro investment. And in which case, then we will lend whatever you need to lend. You pay interest only for whatever term you wish. That can be decided given your profile, your age, whatever. And several years down the line, when the dollar has increased, you can convert to euros and repay your euro loan, or alternatively keep it and continue as you started. Does that make sense to any of you out there?
Absolutely fabulous. I feel like Dawn French. It's just
Mariette,
great.
Mariette, this is Robin Caceres. I do have one question.
Yes?
You said the term can be any length you wish. Does it still increase dramatically if you take a loan out where your age would be 72 at the part of the term of the loan?
Well, in actual fact, that has actually, we have evolved on that, because Robin, you've obviously bought or have know a lot about it.
Thank you, BPI.
Yeah, thanks to BPI. Oh, that's wonderful.
Bless
great
you
to hear that. We have actually evolved on that issue as well. Depending again on profile, depending on lots of issues, we can maybe reduce what the insurance would be, but we can also extend it, because we have agreements now, and particularly on the interest-only loan, whereby we can extend it and we can lend up to the age of 80. Now, obviously, it does become more expensive over and above a certain age, but we're quite willing today to try and bring that cost down as much as we possibly can.
Thank you.
I have a question, please. You need 20%.
As a non-resident, because you're a non-resident, normally it is required by all French lenders that you have to put down 20% of the purchase price. As far as the bank is concerned, it's their security against lending to a non-resident.
Right. No, that's clear.
Independently of the property.
How much is it for a resident?
A resident can get up to 100%. No problem.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Mary, I have a question. If you're dual citizenship, you have property in Paris, but you're not residing in Paris, do you get any sort of break in terms of percentage, that you're charged interest?
To be very honest with you, it doesn't change the interest rate. It changed the loan-to-value. When I say resident, it means a tax resident.
Okay.
So if you're a tax resident in France, then in that case we can look at lending you a higher percentage.
And tax,
now, obviously,
tax resident, you mean like if obviously...
You're paying tax in France.
Okay, great. What
your country of residency, our definition of your residency is where you are tax resident.
Okay, but we will be paying taxes on the rental revenue that we've earned in France, but we don't reside in France, but we still have to pay revenue. Is that considered?
No. It's made for your main source of income,
okay,
and where your main tax.
Right.
Income tax.
Not property tax.
Oh, nothing to do with property tax. We're talking about interest.
Right.
Tax. However, if you do already own property, you could buy another property and we could lend you 100% without you bringing in anything if we had sufficient equity on your existing property.
Which is what I've done.
Which
That's
we,
what I wanted to hear.
Which
Thank
you.
You
can take a charge against, right?
Wanted to hear. Thank you.
I have a strange question. I am a resident. I'm not in France at the moment, but I am a resident in France with a 10-year carte de séjour,
right.
Carte de résident.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be interested, but and I have equity in a property in America, about $130,000 equity.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, I think I understand that if this property were only in Paris, then I could go ahead and borrow a certain amount in order to invest in a Parisian property. But since it's in America, is there any hope for me?
Oh, goodness me. I was going to say that's a $1 million question. For the time being, I have to be a little bit negative on that answer. However, I have been working recently on taking guarantees abroad. Now, I haven't got to the States yet. I've only got as far as Dublin, to be honest with you. We've done the UK, we've done Spain, we've done Ireland. I haven't looked into the possibility of the bank lending on US property. I don't know how complicated it would be. However, given my knowledge, I think it would be probably quite difficult for a French bank to have the possibility to take a guarantee on a US property. So for the time being, I have to be a little bit negative on that one. Sorry about that.
Okay, thank you.
Is that because of the problems in the U.S. housing market that that's the case?
No, absolutely nothing to do with the subprimes. Absolutely nothing. It's just that we take this, obviously, it's something that I've been working on over the last, say, 2 or 3 years. So we take it step by step. And we've got to the stage where we can take a guarantee in the UK, we can take a guarantee in Ireland, we can take a guarantee in Spain, we're looking at doing it in Belgium. It's just, I think the States is a totally different ballgame as far as the French bank is concerned, getting the correct authorizations. As it is, and you may not know this, to enable us to do a US dollar investment for U.S. citizens, it has to get total clearance from U.S. administration. It's a nightmare. So there are very few banks offering any sort of investment plan, or if they do, they don't do it correctly, and it could mean major issues for U.S. who would be investing, U.S. investors. What we're offering with this U.S. deposit savings account, it has gone through, you will not believe how many stages to get to where we are. Everything had to be cleared, everything had to be U.S. clean. So I would imagine it would be very difficult for a French bank to be able to get clearance in the U.S. to allow us to take a guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
As we've no representative office, we've nothing. So that's one of the reasons why I think it would be difficult, but it has nothing to do with subprime in the U.S., absolutely nothing.
Mary, a U.S. bank will not lend money on a foreign property because they can't secure it. What can they do with it if it were to foreclose? It's the same in reverse.
Well, it isn't actually, because we can, for example, we have taken a guarantee. We have lent a client a euro loan on a UK property, and we took the charge on the UK property as a French bank. But we have to go through various authorizations to do so. And we just feel that going to do that in the U.S. would be extremely difficult, given compliance in the U.S., given what we have to do just to set up a savings scheme for U.S. citizens.
Mm.
Mary?
Yes?
Mary, this is Jane Stavish in
yes, Jane.
Calling from California.
Yes,
it's
Jane.
Good to hear you. My partner
you
and I
too,
own outright a property in St. Martin, French St. Martin.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Would that qualify as an existing property with equity in terms of obtaining a French loan?
These are considered to be the dom-tom, which are territories or whatever. I don't think we can on St. Martin. I know we do work in the Reunion. We have, I think we've got the French Polynesia, but I haven't heard of St. Martin. But Jane, I will look into it and I'll get back to you on that. I have written it down for you as a question, and I'll let you know if there is a possibility of us taking a guarantee.
We do pay non-resident tax and all of that, and we get our tax bills from Paris.
Right.
So, and they follow all banking and whatever laws of France, so I'm wondering if we qualify.
It's just some of the territories are not quite considered quite in the same way as others, so I can't answer that. It's the first time St. Martin has come into the equation. So leave it with me, Jane, and I'll get back to you on that question, okay?
Yeah, because we have about $400,000 of equity there.
Okay. I'll see if we can do something. As I said, to date, I'm not terribly sure.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Could Eric,
I have your email. I'll email you back on that during the week.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can you clarify again the additional deposit you mentioned over and above the 20%?
Yes, of course I can. Just to illustrate, for example, if you were to buy a property for 500,000 euros,
right,
you would have to have a 20% down payment, which would be 100,000 euros. Which would mean roughly, if we take the dollar being about 1.5, we'd say that would be $150,000. Of that $150,000, we would add another a 10%, what they call clause, which would allow for fluctuation in the dollar at the moment. So another 10% of the 150,000 would be 15,000. So in all, the investment would be $165,000.
The 10% of the euro amount or the dollar amount?
No, the dollar amount. The dollar amount.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be $165,000. Yeah.
Oh, could you tell us what interest rate you pay on that deposit?
Indeed. It really does depend on what we invested in, but quite honestly, because it's linked to a property investment, we're rather conservative. So the maximum we would do would be a 30% on stock equities, whatever, and 70% will be on U.S. Treasury bonds, whatever. Having said that, the stock will also be AAA quoted on the New York Stock Exchange. So very conservatively today, you know what U.S. Treasury bonds and stocks. So I'd say very conservatively today, 4%, 5% max.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions out there?
Yes, Mary. It's Jane again. I'm wondering what the current mortgage rates are in France, and are they fixed?
Well, the current mortgages are relatively high. You've probably followed it quite closely. Interest rates in Europe have continued over the past 18 months to increase. They do continue to increase. However, there is some talk of it stabilizing at the moment because of the U.S. dollar and because of the U.S. dollar rates. Having said that, it's very difficult to say. We do anticipate that they may stabilize but may increase slightly over the next 6 to 12 months anyway. We're in a historically high period. As far as the fixed versus variable are concerned, you can get both. We offer both. However, what we prefer to do, given where the rate is today, is offer a variable with a cap so that you know exactly what the maximum amount would be, and so that you benefit when interest rates do start coming down, as they always have been cyclic and will be cyclic. At the moment, they're on a high. They may continue over the next 6 to 12 months to be on a high, but they do anticipate over the next few years that interest rates will come down.
And at the moment, are they about 4.8?
Yeah.
Easy, 5 to 5.5.
No, margin? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mary,
please be sure to explain how the variable rate works here, that the monthly payment does not change, but the term changes.
Right. Again, it depends. This is one of our products. I'll specify this because each bank has its own particular products. We have several products, but notably our variables are variables whereby the monthly interest will be fixed for 12 months. And at the end of the 12 months, the differential between what you should have paid and what is paid is added to the capital or reduced from the capital, and the loan is extended with a maximum of extension, depending on the term.
Or diminished.
Or diminished, that's what I said. Added or deducted from. If interest rates have gone up, obviously the term will extend to a maximum of 5 to 7 years, depending on the initial term. If interest rates have come down, then your term will be reduced accordingly. And I think Adrian can illustrate that.
I've saved 13 months on the mortgage I have on my primary apartment since taking it out in 2000, because when I took that loan out in 2000, the rates were unusually high at the time as well. and then the rates came down over a period of years, and I know that I've saved 13 months right now off of the term of my loan.
Mary, this is Robin. I have a question similar to just a follow-up to what somebody said before. Somebody asked about the actual interest rates, and you said 5 to 5.5. Is that fixed or variable?
It depends on the. To be honest with you, the fixed are about 5 to 5.25 today, and the variable are roughly the same. There's very little difference between the fixed and the variable. To be honest with you, today we're in a very unusual situation as far as interest rates are concerned. A lot to do with, I'm not going to go into the technicalities of it, but interest, be it fixed or variable, are more or less on the same today. The disadvantage of the fixed is that you're locked in and there are generally penalties if you wanted to repay.
3% early redemption.
The remaining capital due, whereas with the variable, that's usually negotiated. You usually get the first few years where there will be penalties, but following that you negotiate with the bank, and after 3 to 5 to 7 years, whatever the term may be, there's no penalties. But I think the major issue here today is that we are at a pretty high rate. And although we do anticipate maybe a slight increase over the next 6 to 12 months, if you're talking about a mortgage which is minimum 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years, whatever the case may be, I think in the long term it's much more interesting to have a variable, because as soon as interest rates start coming down, you will immediately benefit from a decrease. Whereas with the variable on the interest only, it's capped, so you know exactly the maximum you would ever pay on that.
Well, plus, if you take a variable where you can pay into the loan on early redemption with no penalties, and should the dollar get stronger, then you can really manage your financing well by taking advantage of that situation when the dollar is strong to pay into the loan if you choose to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No,
it just makes a lot. It just gives you a lot more control over the whole rate of exchange issue when you've got a variable loan.
If we take the example that I took earlier on of $150,000, which was the equivalent to 100,000 euros today, supposing the dollar increased and the rate was 1.25 in 4 or 5 years' time, your euro equivalent wouldn't be 100,000 but 120,000. So you've also gained on investing in dollars and waiting until the dollar does get stronger again.
Oh, exactly.
Euro.
The amount that's in an interest-bearing account that's been invested, it's still your money, but it's gaining in value because it remained in dollars.
Suppose that, obviously, if the dollar goes up against the euro, which we all anticipate at some stage, whenever that may be.
I wonder if, is it appropriate to ask about how you calculate income, since with Adrian's luscious proposition about Provençale that has everybody dreaming. I'm very interested to know how you would go about, say, if you, I understand that the first year, Adrian says that you could possibly get 50% occupancy. So,
oh, I want to answer this question.
Okay.
No, because this last mortgage, now this is the fourth mortgage that I am about to sign on with BPI in order to purchase the New York apartment. I had the tremendous pleasure of walking into the office with a spreadsheet showing my rental return from the last year on the Provençale, which of course shocked everyone in the room.
Wonderful.
Some of you have stayed in the Provençale who are on this phone call, I know, because I achieved an 85% occupancy. Now, that's clearly a very high occupancy rate, but, you know, when we calculate occupancy rate, we basically assume that you can always at least achieve 50% without having to work very hard, and achieving 70% is doing very well, and anything above that is major gravy. Okay, and it's entirely possible to do if you do it right. So when I brought in this spreadsheet that showed, you know, what it had been able to accomplish in a year's time, they, Stefan Denner and Celine Mino from BPI, both said, "Here, take our money," because you know, that all counts as income. And it shows that, you know, that it's a very low-risk situation when they're lending money, particularly on a property that they know will be a rental. Okay, I'm going to let Mary go further because I've probably said things she's not happy about. But
no, of course, we take into consideration the rental income. However, it's also very important for us that you can show other source of income. Right? Whatever that source may be, it could be from investment, whatever. Once it's visible and it can be seen, we have no issue with it.
Do you have any rules of thumb on this? How suppose Adrian's, for example, or an apartment like Adrian's brought in a gross, say, $3,000 a month. Mm-hmm. Of that $3,000, what do you have a rule of thumb of how much after taxes and expenses and everything, how much of that would count as income?
Well, to be very honest with you, we don't use the same calculation as Adrian. I have Firstly, we look at it because, I mean, this is a niche market that we're talking about. It's short-term rentals, and I have to say Adrian seems to be one of the best on the market at doing that. Now, unfortunately, the powers to be in the bank don't know her well enough to realize how good she is. Now, to be very honest, we take a figure per square meter for rental income, multiplied by the number of square meters you have, per annum, then per month per annum, and we take into consideration 85% of that figure, which will be slightly less than Adrian's. And that will tell you.
Yeah, but it's still 20 to 30 euros per meter, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's 20 to 30
euros
per meter per month, which is, by the way, the actual average rental in Paris for an unfurnished apartment. So 20 euros per meter per month is on the low end for unfurnished, 30 euros per meter per month is on the high end on a furnished. And that's sort of like, if you come to rent an apartment, you can use that figure as a general average, right?
Very much so.
This is Robin. I have a question about what you just said, Adrian. I guess maybe I'm a little ditzy, but I don't understand what you mean by 20 to 30 euro per month per meter.
Per meter.
I know, but how does that figure into the formula for what they look at in terms of rental rent?
So that's the figure we use. We will use, depending on where you buy the apartment, to illustrate that. For example, if you bought a 30 square meter apartment in this area, we would take it to be 30.
This area meaning our
Adrian's area. It's a 30 square meter apartment, for example, at 30 euros per square meter a month. So that would give us 900 euros. We would multiply that by 85%, and that's the amount we would take into the equation for our calculation of rental income.
Okay, so that's how much you'd want to see on a rental. Is that what your previous?
No, we don't want to see anything.
We're assuming.
We will take it into the equation, but it's not all we take into the equation. What's important also is your other source of income. We need to see that apart from this, we won't only look at this income. We look at your global profile, your other source of income, whatever that may be, wherever it may be.
Okay.
I'll just illustrate this by, I have to say that we're pretty good at trying to find, we know sometimes people have complicated situations tax-wise. An American gentleman came to see me some time ago. I'm going to tell you this story because I think it probably illustrates what we can do. He was 82. He wanted to buy a flat with his 52-year-old wife and his two children the same age as his wife, by the way. Number one, at 82, I thought, well, this is going to be quite difficult, particularly being in France. Nonetheless, I said, we didn't determine. I said, well, sit down, let's have a look. And he was going to buy with his wife and his children, so we decided that would be through a company. So I said, well, I need to see income figures, et cetera, et cetera. And he takes out his 1040, his US 1040 form, and the last tax return he'd made, his gross taxable income was minus $1 million.
So this guy is living right, if you ask me.
So I thought, wow. But because I know the 1040 forms, I saw there was positive income coming in here, and then all of a sudden at the end we had a minus.
And he explained to me that though he had positive income, but he had, because of companies he'd had in the past, had tax deferrable, tax, what's the word? I'm sorry, I can't find it. That he could carry forward tax losses, right? And just to let you know, we went through it all. He gave us all the documents. I worked with his CP. I did a lot of work with him. And we actually managed to lend this person and his wife and his children €2.3 million.
€2.3 million what?
Euros.
Wow.
Okay. Because we understood exactly where his source of income, where the loss was coming from, why it was coming from. I worked with his tax lawyers, I worked with his CPs, and I worked with him. And it was so clear that our people sanctioned the loan at $2.3 million. Right? So as long as we know exactly why it's happening, what's happening, we're pretty open to what we can do.
Okay.
Sounds pretty positive, doesn't it?
That answered my question, actually.
Oh, not directly, but indirectly.
Does it make a difference whether it's an individual or a company then that's doing the purchasing?
No.
One of those?
No. You mean a company is an SCI?
Yes, right. Yeah.
Well, actually, to be very honest with you, it can be an LLC today, by the way.
Oh, that's new. That's new information.
We've just started lending to LLC structures. However, the first two we have financed has been within an SCI, but we probably will. The last we lent to was an LLC that had a 99% holding in an SCI, which is a French property company, with a 1% ownership of shares by the individual who owned the LLC 100%. But it made no difference to us whatsoever. But as far as you're concerned, it could be interesting from a U.S. point of view, owning it through an LLC company. Through an SCI, you have to look at the tax implications. There are advantages and disadvantages. But then again, as I said, I'm not a legal person, but that's something that you need to look into and discuss with somebody, you know, legal.
Sure.
On that
Thank
issue.
You.
Mm-hmm.
Get some idea what the costs of the loan are, what the costs are. To the bank?
The cost of the loan, our costs are roughly 1% of the amount borrowed, but they're usually...
But there's a cap.
There's
usually
a cap,
right?
Usually at about, depending on the loan amount, but it can be anything about 2,500 euros. It depends on the loan amount, to be very honest, but the maximum we usually ever take is about 5,000 euros.
And you're talking about the origination fee, right? That's what you're asking about, the origination fee?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I have a question also about the tax deductibility. I know you mentioned that it's deductible in both the U.S. and France. Does that mean that the interest, just like in the States, you know, what we pay in terms of property taxes and that sort of, or the interest that we pay on our mortgages is deductible? That's what we're talking about, is deductible?
Yes, yes. Mortgage absolutely. Interest is deductible.
No, 100%.
You can't deduct it on both sides. You can only deduct it on one or the other.
Of course, yeah. Oh, okay, okay. All righty. So either U.S. or in France.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right.
Depending on where you're claiming, wherever you're claiming the property.
Yeah, okay. All right, thanks.
Could you say more about this origination fee?
But the origination fee, it's a fee that we charge because generally speaking, we've a lot of work on a loan. We send express couriers across the ocean, telephone calls. It's just a bank fee to set up a loan.
All the lenders charge it.
That's what you would call a frais de dossier.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Yes.
However, there is an advantage with us. We do finance that if you wish. So it means you don't have to bring it in. We can finance. We finance that fee. It becomes part of the loan.
And that's unique to BPI?
No, all the lenders charge an origination fee.
No. The advantage of being able to
add it to the loan.
Yes.
I think we're one of the very few actually.
I don't know. I don't actually know.
I think we're one of the very few. Yeah, we add the admin fee to the capital borrowed, the initial loan amount.
Okay.
There are also taxes
paid on a mortgage as well, which the French has nothing to do with BPI or any of the lenders. It's something the French government charges, and there's nothing you can do about that. But
can you please run down what the all the costs are? For example, this feuille de dossier and a broker's fee, for example.
Are you talking about all the costs involved in purchasing a property or all the costs involved in a mortgage?
Well, first the mortgage and then any other, I guess, the notaire and the broker. I don't know if there are others.
Okay, well, let me break it down for you very simply, okay? First of all, property is priced including the agent's fee, okay? So however you look at it, it's either the buyer or the seller paying it, but it basically comes out of the price because it's already included. So even if it's a property that's for sale by owner, then obviously the owner is in effect earning the agent's fee.
Mm-hmm.
The notaire fees on top of that are approximately 7 to 7.5%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and there are a lot of variables included with that, but it's usually somewhere in that neighborhood. If you have a mortgage, then you have your loan origination fee, which is variable depending on the lender, and you can even negotiate that on occasion.
And it's generally It's generally 1%.
Well, yeah, generally. Mary is saying yes, generally about 1%. Sometimes there's a cap, and sometimes it's negotiable depending on the loan.
Okay.
The government does charge a tax on a mortgage called a hypothèque, and I don't know what percentage that is. About 1%. It's about 1% also. So that's another percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's, the cost of ownership, but that has to do with property tax.
Right.
But that's not the cost of purchase.
Right. And what is the, a broker's fee, what is the percentage?
It's generally about 5%.
Okay.
But as I said, it's included in the price of the property, so it really doesn't matter to you as a buyer.
Mm-hmm.
That's really a consideration more for the seller than for the buyer because it means their net is higher or lower.
Okay.
You know, Adrienne, I think what she might be getting at is if you have to have 20% of the value of the property and then your notaire, what's the generally, you know, what's the figure that you can run with that you have to add to the
30%.
30%. Yes. 30. So 10%, right?
I would allow 30% in cash in of the purchase price of a property. It's a really good, simple calculation because assuming that you're going to put 20% down, assume that you've got 7 to 7.5% in notaire fees, assume you've got a 1% and a hypothèque, a 1% origination fee, and if you use if you use a search firm, that you're going to pay another small percentage to.
Mm-hmm.
So in round figures, I would say assume that you need 30% of the purchase price of a property in cash to make it happen.
Adrienne, can you...
Not including renovation.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Can you go over what prices things are going for right now, like the studios in your area or one bedroom in your area?
Oh, Hyacinth, you're going to be so happy. The reason I say that for Hyacinth is because she has an absolutely gorgeous apartment in Saint-Germain-des-Prés on the left bank in the 6th. And I don't remember exactly what you purchased that apartment for, but it has increased in value considerably. And now in the Marais, we are looking at property in the between 9 and 11,000 per square meter in the Marais.
Really?
Yeah, euros, not dollars. Okay, and the 6th is more like in the neighborhood of 10,000 to 13,000 per square meter.
Adrienne?
Yeah.
This is Jane again. We're wondering what is the finder's fee, you know, to
search for
an apartment, and also can you give us an estimation of what the rental, the management fee would be for someone to manage the rental of the apartment?
Yeah.
Adrienne,
well, that's a whole long list of questions, which, of course, require more than just simple answers. But We have a 2.5% finder's fee commission of the price of the property.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's ours. I don't know how that really compares to competitors, but I think it's probably pretty average, is my guess. Rental is a whole nother ball game. I mean, a whole nother, you know, big conversation because it's there are too many variables involved to be able to answer that question.
Adrian, can't you just give an example? Adrian, is the rental portion of it just an average percent of the value of the property or the income per year?
Definitely not. No, definitely not. My studio apartment is 16.5 square meters. If it were 25 square meters, it would not achieve any higher rentals. One of the reasons that it's so efficient is because it's small,
right,
but it accomplishes everything it needs to accomplish. So when we advise clients on purchasing a rental property, we advise that they actually purchase as small as they can to achieve sleeping as many people as possible,
right,
because it's usually rented on a how many people it can sleep basis. So a studio can sleep two, but a one-bedroom can sleep four, for instance. And a one-bedroom can be 50 meters or a one-bedroom can be 30 meters. Clearly, you're going to spend a lot less on 30 meters than 50 meters, so your return on investment is a lot better.
Yes.
And those are some of the things that, you know, all go into consulting with you and looking at the right properties and making sure that what you're getting is really your best investment and you can get the best return on investment.
Right. So other than that 2.5%, my concern is after the purchase of the property, then do you have a division of your business where you manage that property for the people?
Yeah, we do. We offer that.
Okay.
It's Parley Paris Apartments.
Okay.
I have a rental manager who also doubles as our mortgage manager. His name is John Rule. He's been building this business with me over the past year. He's very, very good. We've been adding properties slowly but surely as we inch up in requests because it's very important that we don't get, that we have more properties than we have demand. And we want to maintain a very high standard of properties. We want to have a very good mix so that they don't cannibalize each other. That's very important. And we've been primarily only adding those apartments which are our clients, who we assisted in the search process because we can absolutely be certain that they will be good rentals since we advised on them to begin with.
Yeah. Sure, yeah. Okay.
But can you give some kind of an example of, just without giving away any, you know, personal data, can you give any example of what the management, what kind of charges are? So if you purchase one?
Oh, yeah, that's not complicated. All the management firms operate differently, okay, and this in itself could be a complete phone, you know, a conference call. But we have a 20% reservation and booking fee, which includes the credit card transaction fees, which are fairly expensive. So we cover that aspect of it. And then the maintenance is a different contract over and above that, and that can be as little service or as much service as the owner wants. And that is somewhere in the vicinity of 15%, give or take, depending on that contract. So bottom line is you end up paying 35% in management fees. But that's really if you're hands off. That means, you know, total management.
Right. Got it. Are most of your people?
Okay, now you understand, though, and this is not just for us, but for any of the management firms, if you work with a good management company that has good clients, then they can achieve a higher occupancy rate and they can achieve better rates. So it's very well worthwhile paying them more.
Right. No, I
you know, because your bottom line is better.
Right.
What if the owner brings in some of their own rentals? I mean, how does the fee change?
I tell you what I don't want to do. I don't want to get this conversation off course onto rentals. I hope you don't mind. But we really ought to get back to the subject, which has to do with mortgages and why this is a good time to buy into the euro, take in a euro asset, why this new product of Mary and BPI's is such an effective way of beating the rate of exchange so that it really eliminates that. I mean, the rent, we can, I'm going to put it on my notes that we need to do a conference call for rentals because clearly you guys have a lot of questions. But let's go back to the questions that have to do with the mortgage. Does anybody else out there have any other related questions?
Adrienne, I have one for Mary.
Okay.
Can she talk about the types of loan structures? I know there were different names like Cadence, like...
Well, it's very simple. We've got two loan structures. Fundamentally, we've got repayment loans, which are capital and interest repayment over whatever term. It can be 5 to 25 years. Or we have what we call interest only, which is a hybrid interest only, where the first part of the term, which can be anything from 1 to 15 years, is interest only. And the second phase from a maxi of 15 years. So the overall loan can't exceed, the overall term loan can't exceed 30 years.
Okay.
On the
we could also use that that product that you're talking about with these loan structure types.
Well, to be honest with you, we advise the borrower to do it on an interest-only basis simply because the dollar is so strong. Obviously, you're borrowing in euros, and you can't forget that. So, you know, the interest you're paying is in euros. So if you were to pay interest in capital, it would be, the outgoings would be quite high, except obviously you take a term anything from 20 to 30 years, which may be feasible, may not be, which may be of interest, may not be. So we strongly advise with the investment scheme to do an interest only, to keep your outgoings in euros as low as possible until the dollar does get stronger against the euro. At which point in time then you can convert your dollar investment, repay in euros on the mortgage, and then convert, if you wish, to an interest and capital repayment scheme. But we, at the moment, we advise to do the interest only, do it on an interest only basis. However, you do have the choice to invest the 20% and borrow on an interest and capital schedule over a 25 year term if you want. Just means your outgoings are slightly higher.
Mary, is there any penalty for converting at any point from an interest only to a repayment?
Now, to be very honest with you, generally speaking, when we do the interest only, we decide at the outset. But because of the nature of this product that we're bringing out, and as Adrienne did say, it hasn't been officially launched and won't be till January. So we're actually negotiating the possibility that at any time you can convert. And you can.
I asked her the same question earlier tonight.
I haven't got the official answer, but it's something that I'm working on, and that, you know, everybody will be informed of. But ideally, it would be that at any time that there is a strong dollar to the euro, that you can convert and repay at any time. Otherwise, it's defeating the purpose of doing the dollar investment.
When you say January launch, you mean this current January?
I mean, yes, I do.
Oh, we're here.
Current January, yeah. Yeah.
This is groundbreaking. This is happening because of us.
Well, it certainly helps us, I have to say. Adrienne, I've been working on the project and having great difficulties taking it forward, and Adrienne's article actually put such an accelerator on it that you can't imagine.
Now she has to work really hard.
I'm still on vacation, by the way. I can't say, but hopefully that you will have the option at any time to repay your U.S. dollar account, convert it to euros against your mortgage.
And this is Dorothy. If I want to keep the mortgage just interest only, is there any problem with that?
No.
Okay. I can do it forever then, right?
No,
we would love that.
Do it forever, except there's a maximum term of 15 years.
Okay.
Hi.
Forever up to 15 years.
Thank you.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Hi, I have a question. Now, you said there's a maximum term of 15 years on the interest
only. The product we have, it's a two-phase product with the first phase interest only, second phase repayment. The first phase is maxi 15 years on interest only, and the second phase maxi 50 years on repayment. So
for a total of 30 years?
Absolutely.
I see.
So given your profile, given your age, given, you know, whatever we need to take into the equation, we will decide together what is the best option to go for a 10-year interest only followed by a 15-year repayment, to go for a 5-year interest only if we think over the next 5 years the dollar will improve and you will repay and we'd want it. So, I mean, it really is. The product is open. It's from 1 year to 15 years interest only, 15 years max on the repayment. So we'll decide at the outset what's the best for you, given, as I said, your profile.
Yeah. Now, Mary, on your either phase one, phase two, or whatever it is there a repayment penalty if you pay off the loan in full? On your
Generally speaking, there is for the first 5 years, to be honest with you, to make it feasible, to make it viable for the company. But after that, we usually waive the penalties. It's negotiable, and it's, to be honest with you, it's negotiated pretty frequently, I'd say 99% of the time.
This is
you
should with another
consider,
question.
Though, holding on to the property for close to 15 years because of the capital gains law. The capital gains law, tax law, is such that you'll pay a third in capital gains if it's sold within the first 5 years, and then that is reduced by 10% every year. Until 15 years, you would pay no capital gains. So you really don't want to consider speculating in French property exactly, because your closing costs are high, but your cost of ownership is low. So the longer you own the property, the way better you're going to do on it.
I'm not talking about actually selling the property. I'm talking about just paying off the mortgage.
Yeah. No, I understand.
And leveraging the equity for other things.
Well, you can pay off the loan to leverage the
equity.
We can keep the loan and we do a second mortgage.
I'm on my fourth. And I haven't sold any properties. I want to make one comment because, and I told this to Mary earlier. I now own three apartments in Paris, two of which are small, granted. Okay, they weren't very expensive. And I'm soon to, you know, have this apartment in New York. And my total investment up to this point is $40,000.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh.
Over the last 10 years.
Okay, yes. I started with an apartment in 2000, my personal apartment, and all of the other apartments have been, I've borrowed based on an equity release at 100% of, had no additional out-of-pocket, including the renovation work, and it all started with $40,000.
God bless you.
That brings up an interesting question, Adrian and Mary. Then, can renovation be folded into the total mortgage?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it can.
I'm going to warn you against that, but yes, Mary will lend you money on a renovation, but I'm going to at some point warn you against doing that.
Why?
Now, there's a lot of reasons for it. Some of which is you lose some of the control, and there's a lot of work that's done here under the table and in cash, and the bank won't lend you money on, and there's just all sorts of reasons that I shouldn't even be discussing on this conference call.
Sorry? Do you have teams of people in place to oversee this renovation? Is that something you would manage?
Yes. We have a fantastic interior designer named Martine Di Matteo, who's been doing just brilliant work. In fact, she's about to start on my own apartment next week. And she works with John Rule to oversee it, and we've got a couple of different contractors. And so the answer to that question is yes, we have a very good team. Very, very nice.
Okay.
Mary, did I understand somewhere in Adrian's writings that the payments, the actual interest, if we do an interest-only loan, those payments can come out of that deposit account? Do I have that right?
You have to explain the logic here.
At some stage, initially no, because the investment is our 20% is security as far as the bank is concerned.
Right.
What we do, but it's more or less on the equity release, but what we may be able to consider, and I'd be a little bit cautious on this, but it's something that we may consider, supposing 5 or 10 years down the line that the property was worth a lot more, so that therefore we didn't need the cushion we have at the moment, the 20%, then why not at that point in time use the equity that we have in the savings account to pay down on the interest or the capital on a monthly or a rollover quarterly basis, whatever it may be. But it's not something that we would do initially.
Okay.
But something that we could consider, but it will depend on appreciation of property.
But when you pay down on the principal, if you're paying down on the principal and the only requirement is 20%,
oh, yeah, exactly.
Then it
oh, yeah.
does free up some of that cash that could be used to pay off the mortgage.
If you're using a repayment schedule or...
Right, which is what I was writing about. We're down to the last 2 to 3 minutes, so this is your opportunity to ask questions.
In terms of repayment, this is Karen again. In terms of repaying a mortgage, is there a prepayment amount, like is there a lump sum that has to be paid, or can you make an additional, say, 200 euro a month payment additional, or do you need like a 10,000 euro lump sum in order to make a huge dent? Like
generally speaking, a prepayment would be 10% of the initial capital borrowed. Depending on that amount, it can be reduced to 5%, but it's very difficult to do it on a monthly basis from an administration point of view.
So you need a big chunk of money?
Yeah, say 5 to 10%.
Got it.
Okay.
When you have the final details of the loan, are you going to? Is that something we would be able to get a copy of the in writing?
Oh, absolutely, but you have to give us till the end of January when we launch the product officially. No, we
and as soon as we get it, I'll be writing about it, I promise
you
that.
We have emails of all of you who are on this call this evening. You will be the first to be informed.
Great, thank you.
No problem. You'll get
all. Do you have a calculator, a way to plug in some numbers to find out what your borrowing power would be in your website? The BPI website.
It is on the French version. On the English version, there is one. But to be very honest with you, there's a pre-qualifying application. So if you fill that in and just send it to us, we take into account your outgoings, your incomings, and we get back to you and say, this is what we, given your age, your profile, what we think you can borrow. And then it's up to you to work around those figures.
I see.
The best way to do this, all of you, is to contact John Rule. Okay, let him be your liaison. That's what he's here for. His email address is loan, L-O-A-N, at adrianleeds.com or john@adrianleeds.com. And I'll make sure that he, you know, knows that you were on this call as well. And that will be the best way to get through to Mary's team. Okay. Because Mary isn't the one who'll be handling it directly.
Oh,
she has a team of people, and John will work directly with them. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You can also go to FrenchPropertyLoan.com. That's our mortgage website, and that has more information on it as well.
I did want to check out one thing. One chunk of our income is American rental income. Mm-hmm. And should I gather that that's not going to be very useful?
Of course it is. Take it all into consideration. We actually understand how the system works in the UK in the US as far as the when you there's a certain amount of depreciation. I think it could be up to 20 or 30%. No problem. We take it into account. No problem at all.
And that's what you basically are generally stating in your example with the guy that gave you the 1040.
Yes,
that anybody that's
absolutely
carrying a large rental income in the United States, such as we are,
mm-hmm.
would obviously
mm-hmm.
want their tax return to have close to negative, if not a negative return.
Well, they understand how to read U.S. tax returns, I can assure you.
That's the issue, because when you have a situation with someone that's early retired, has rental income that's reasonable and has a tremendous amount of equity in real estate that's vast,
mm-hmm.
then I would imagine that you would have to take all of that into consideration, because obviously that person's not paying taxes.
Yeah, of course. Well, we take it all into consideration. Now, if it's not totally visible and clear to us, obviously it becomes a little more difficult. But, yes, we're willing to look.
But if there's a person who owns a lot of property that's not mortgaged, that they own, they are very all their property is owned outright, for instance. Like 80% of what they own is owned outright. A few million dollars would be owned outright. How then do you evaluate that from BPI France to the...
Well, we don't evaluate it from an income point of view, but it's more, as far as we're concerned, a profile that, we, you know, when we see on paper that you own properties that are worth several million dollars, obviously we're much more comfortable with lending than if you were renting a property in the U.S. and didn't own property. There's not a lot we can do about it, but it's comforting to us, and it gives us a little bit more leeway in our affordability calculation.
You evaluated. You have somebody here to evaluate the property or something, right?
I'm sorry to cut this short, but we have run over time, and all those kinds of specific questions, I highly recommend that you just take them to us directly, because then we can answer them a lot more thoroughly through John and with Mary's staff. I want to thank absolutely everyone for calling in and participating in this call. I particularly want to thank Mary Fort for being here.
My pleasure. Look forward to meeting you all in Paris.
And Mary, by the way, will be in Miami at the Living and Investing in France Real Estate Conference, February 16th and 17th, for any of you who may be planning on coming, and that there she'll be able to, of course, answer even more. She'll be talking more about this then. And I want to thank everyone for being a subscriber, and have a wonderful rest of the weekend.
Thanks to both of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.